I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.
No doubt God, through the Spirit, has prepared our hearts. And to Matthew chapter 26, we will go. Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 75. I'm very excited to share with you this morning something that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has put on my heart over the last couple of weeks. Something that is, I've seen myself right in the very shoes of where this man that we're going to read about in the Scripture this morning, where he was, and I know that you've probably been there, maybe there right now. This morning, I want you to know this, that there's danger in the distance. And I'm not talking about future, like 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 10 years from now. I'm talking about right now, there's danger in the distance. Distance between you and God, and the dangers that lie in that very thought. And so in Matthew chapter 26, if you're there in verse 57, would you say amen? Amen. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off. Pay close attention to that. Peter followed Jesus, but at a distance, unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." The high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses say against thee?" But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Now jump down to verse 69. Notice this. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before all them, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Church, I want to ask, would you stand with me as we have prayer this morning? Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your word today, Lord, for the example of Jesus above all else. And from the life of Peter today, Lord, that we can take account of the danger and distance that we allow to come into our lives, that sometimes we ourselves establish between us and you. And today, Father, convict our heart. And Lord, today I pray that through it all we would be drawn close to you. Save the lost. Help us make decisions in our lives that Jesus would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we ask it, and all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I believe, according to the Word of God, that mankind is created in the image of God, the Bible says, and that we are relational beings. We are to have a relationship with the Lord, to worship Him and to serve Him. In the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 that God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam. And God created Eve as a companion and a helpmate, the Bible says, for Adam. And so we know that we are relational beings, that will always create relationships or attach ourselves to people or things in some way. For example, wives, your husband may be attached to the chair, the TV control, the television. Are y'all with me? A certain sports show comes on, something that he's used to watching, and he already knows at a certain time and a certain channel and all this stuff, and I got to be there because I don't want to miss it. What I'm saying is focus begins to go on things. Somebody said hunting. It could be fishing. It could be car racing. It could be whatever it is. We know we're relational beings, and we think about it more in terms of people. Now, we know about relationships, the relationship between a mother and a father and the children, that parents, you love your children. You want to be involved in their lives in every area, decisions they make, and children that you would respect according to the Word of God, that you would respect your mother and your father. We know about relationships, husbands and wives, that we love each other, that we are connected, that we are close to each other. And I tell you today, that's in all of your life. You're going to be connected to people. You've got friends that you have a connection to. You share the same hobbies, the same likenesses. You watch, like you said, the same shows, take part in the same activities, and it's something that connects you. You find out that as you get closer to people and things, what happens? You can get farther away from other things. If I've always spent a lot of time with Glenn in my life and a good friend of mine, and then all of a sudden Greg shows up and I begin to spend time with Greg and his family, now what's going to happen? Time is only but so much. Amen. It's something they don't make no more of. It's like land and all this other stuff. You can't put any more than 24 hours in a day, so many minutes in a day, so many seconds in a day. And if you take this allotted time and you give it to this person or this thing, of course, you're going to have to take away from something else. If I'm spending more time with Greg, I got to spend less time with Glenn. Now, we all know that. But here's the danger in that. Anything that you give more priority or more focus, you can begin to get farther away from God because there's so many other things and people and stuff in your life that's getting a priority. No matter what it is, as you get close to some things in a relationship, you're going to have to get farther away from other things. Amen? We're all on the same page? The danger in the distance is this. As you get farther away from God, There is so many traps and so many pitfalls and so much suffering that the world and the devil has laid out there for you just in your decisions, the things that get your focus. There's danger in distance. So we're relational beings, and we all understand that. This morning, from the great example we have here in the Bible, there's a boldness for the Lord, and in the same life, in Peter's life, there's a great denial of the Lord. Peter, I want you to see this morning, he moved from a close walk with Jesus to finding himself at a distance and then ultimately denying through his action and speech the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now let's back up a little bit in Peter's life. Peter began his walk with the Lord in a way which he found himself literally at the feet of Jesus. You can turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, Peter and other fishermen were on the bank of Lake Gennesaret washing their nets, and Jesus approached them and he asked them about going out on the lake. And the Bible gives us the account that Jesus got into Peter's fishing boat and he said, "Let's go out on the lake." And so Peter took the Lord out and Jesus began to teach many of the people and teach the disciples there. And I want you to pay close attention to this. Jesus was serving God with exactly just what he had, a fishing boat. Maybe you're here this morning, you might have a fishing boat, you might have an old car, whatever your talent is. Maybe you can sing, maybe you can preach, whatever you can do. Maybe you got a casserole dish at your house, whatever. I want you to see this. God's already given you the tools to serve him. All you got to do is take the step and do it. It's that simple. You don't have to wait for a divine intervention light to shine on it, a spotlight hit that casserole dish. You say, "Lord, I'm going to make a casserole and take it to family down the road right here and talk with them." No, just do it. God's already given you what you need. God's given you the time. He's given you the talent. Use it for him. Peter had a fishing boat, and he didn't know Jesus, and Jesus walked up one day, and he said, "Let's go fishing. Let's get into that boat." And as Peter began to talk with this man, and they get into the boat, and they go out, and they begin to fellowship, and Jesus begins to teach. And there in Luke 5, you'll see he said, "Go on out a little further and put your net down in the deep." And Peter responds, and he says, "Well, we've done that. We've tried that. We had no luck, caught no fish, just didn't work out. But we'll do it again. If that's what you want to do, sure, we'll try." So that the Bible says that they put down their net, and the nets were so filled with fish, supernaturally, it was a miracle. We've never seen this before. The Bible says that the net begins to break, and they called out to another boat, "Hey, get over here. You're not going to believe this. There's so many fish in the net." And already the eyes of these men are beginning to be opened because they're seeing something supernatural. Why? It's because Jesus was in the boat. They weren't far away from God. They were right there with God. You see, God is waiting at the door of your life to just come in and do great things in your life, but you've got to be the one to invite him and open up the door. You've got to give him the focus and the time and create that relationship with God. "Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to study and read my Bible. I'm going to be actively involved in church, in Bible study, in Sunday school, in everything, Lord, that you've laid out for me. God, I want it. You've got it, Lord. Give it to me." Can you tell I'm excited about Jesus? I've had a good week. We made 256 bottles of apple butter yesterday. I mean, we peeled 20 bushels of apple. No, that's not. It's because of the love of Jesus, see? That enabled us to do that. I'm going to tell you, Peter was excited, brother. He had never seen anything like this before. Notice in Luke chapter 5 and verse 6, when they had done this, the Bible says this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and to help, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Supernaturally, a miracle was taking place. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the feet of Jesus and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He's saying, "You are the Lord, the Messiah. I recognize in you now through your teaching and through these miracles." Just for a moment, those of you that fish, can you imagine that? So many fish in the boat that the boat's about to sink. Did y'all go fishing yesterday? Yeah. Did you have any luck? Man, you wouldn't believe it. We were wading around fish and walking to the boat. So we didn't even have to put the hook in the water. They was giving up jumping in the boat. Jumped right into my arms. I said, here, Greg, take a picture. Supernatural. I mean, that's a God thing. We're not talking about little stuff. We're talking about things that only God can do in your life and in my life. Some of you here this morning have received healing that a doctor can't explain because God did that. God might have delivered you from alcohol or drugs or some other temptation, and nobody else could do that, but God can do that. And God set you free from sin and gave you eternal home in heaven. That's what God can do. You see, Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And in verse 10, Jesus said to Simon Peter, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. You'll be a fisherman of mankind. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything, the Bible says, and they followed him. They were close to the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you, church, that's a beautiful place. When you are close to God and focused on the things of God, that's a blessed place, a beautiful place, a place of peace and comfort like nowhere else. And you say, yeah, but look like it's a lot of work involved in that. You will never be exhausted working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust me, when you think I can't go on, somehow God supernaturally gives you the strength to keep going on, not because of you, but because of God, because of the Spirit that now dwells within you. So don't look at the work and say, oh, count me out, it's too much work for me. Nothing's too great for the God that we serve. Amen. The Lord's going to give you that strength. Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And at the very feet of Jesus, right there in the boat, that's where Peter started his walk. But I know this. As his emotions were filled with joy and happiness and praise and excitement, he probably thought, what could possibly happen next? We know what happens next. Conditions change, circumstances change, there comes hardships, there comes testing, there comes temptation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We know this, difficult times will come, the rough seas will come, the waves will come, the up and the down will come. Life is up and down, but being in the boat with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Amen? Even though the waves are crashing on the side of the boat, if Jesus is in your boat, you're going to be all right. Because he's the master of the wind, he's the Lord of the sea. He can take giant waves and calm them and make the sea level before you. The wind will cease at his very command, at his word. The ridiculed and broken will be set free and healed beyond what we can explain, because God can do that. You see, being close to Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Now, moving ahead in Peter's life, we'll find them sitting at a table, the Lord's Supper. They're in an upper room, and Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though they may all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly I say to you, this truth, Peter, listen, you'll fall away from me this very night. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said to him in verse 35, even if I have to die with you, I will not fall away from you. And all the disciples began to chime in. No, we won't, Lord. We won't do it. How many of you ever heard the story of the man? Those that would drink alcohol, they'd get to the point that, you know, they get sick. And they're hugging the toilet and they say, no, Lord, if you'll deliver me, what? Come on, y'all know this. I will never do this again. Lord, if you'll bail me out this time, whatever situation might be, Lord, if you'll get me through, I'll never let myself get into that situation again. How you doing? I'm doing good. You forgot you made that deal here a while back. I'm a deal maker too. Everybody is, right? Lord, bail me out. God, if you'll bail me out, I won't do it again. I won't get back in this shape again. But we keep doing it. Well, let me tell you something. You're in good company. Peter wore those exact same shoes. I wore those same shoes. I haven't always been a preacher and a good person. Nobody has. Amen? We've all been there before. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Even to death I'll go. I'll do whatever it takes. Jesus said, Peter, as the young folks say, slow your roll a little bit. You don't realize what you're saying. He said, the devil desires to sift you. The devil has asked to sift you. Y'all remember Job? Satan went before the Lord, said, Job, the reason he's so loving, Lord, is because you've protected him. Won't you pull a little protection out from around him and his family? And we'll see about that then. You see, Jesus said, Peter, calm down. The devil is going to be all over you. Anybody here today feel like the devil sifted on them a little bit? Sifted on you in the past few months, this week? There's sifting ahead, I'm going to tell you. That's just the way life is. But when Jesus is in your boat, when Jesus is in your boat, you're never going to... If I fall today, Lord Jesus, I fall into your arms. Thank you, God. What a blessing that is. If I falter and stumble today, God, it is you who will pick me up and hold me. Jesus said, Peter, the devil is going to be all over you. But there he said... In Luke's account, in Luke 22, in verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, will strengthen your brothers. Jesus didn't say, when you fail, that's going to be it. I can't be your friend anymore. When you mess up in sin, we'll write you off. We'll kick you out. We'll throw you away. No, he didn't say that. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. I love you. Stick it out. Once you've got through this and have turned around, you will strengthen your brothers. See, because Peter lived through it. He realized it. He experienced it, and he knew it. How many of you today, just like me, God is giving you the opportunity through circumstance and experience for you to see what it's like to have a tough time? So you can turn around and tell somebody else about the love of Jesus, and you know exactly what you're talking about because you lived through it. You live through cancer. You live through surgery. You live through a house fire. You live through the death of a friend or a loved one. You live through some kind of a traumatic experience, and you can turn around and say, God got me through it. And he can do the same thing for you. See, Peter went through it. And Jesus said, when you come out on the other side, you'll strengthen your brothers. Now, come on up in Peter's life. In the garden, they came to arrest Jesus. And among all the others, remember this, Peter was the one that was so bold, he pulled out his sword and he swung at the servant of the high priest. And what did he do? He cut off his ear. That was Peter. Peter was bold. He was very straightforward. But get this, he was close to Jesus when all this was happening. Now I want you to see the danger in the distance. Now, as Peter and Jesus leave the garden, get this. What does the Bible say? In verse 58, Peter followed him, how? Afar off. In other words, all the boldness, the praising and the preaching and the joy, Peter was with Jesus. Now what happens when Peter begins to distance himself from the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the Bible says here, when they traveled to the high priest's palace, first of all, it says Peter didn't go in. What did he do? He stopped at the door. And you say, well, preacher, that's obvious. If Peter would have went in with Jesus in there, they could have beat him, spit on him, crucified him, made fun of them. Well, of course, he probably didn't want to go in with him because there was so much ridicule. Get this. You and I are just like Peter. You leave this place today and you go to a restaurant to eat and a waitress may come up or wherever you go and they say, can I take your order, please? And you say, do you know this Jesus? Think about that. You might get a funny look. You go to the supermarket, they're going to ring up your groceries. She's scanning your groceries. How are you doing today? I'm doing good because I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You go to the gas station, wherever you go, if your first priority is to find out, does that person know the Lord Jesus Christ? We're talking about eternal consequences, heaven or hell, being saved or unsaved, lost, set apart from God or in fellowship with God. If you say, do you know Jesus? Now we all know this. You're going to get some funny looks. And the truth is, somebody might get ticked off at you. So you tell me what's the difference between you and I right now here today in America and Peter, all that thousands of years ago. And you say, well, yeah, but he didn't go in. Well, that's the same stuff we struggle with, church, isn't it? We struggle with opposition to the law and the will of God. And we'll do the same things that Peter does. As Jesus began to leave and Peter's looking at this whole situation and wait a minute, I'm getting further and further away from God. And what was he doing? The Bible says he stood at the door and then from the doorway he moved out to the courtyard and then from the courtyard he moved out to the gateway. And you know what I see happening? He's getting further and further and further away from whom? He's allowing distance to be put in between him and the Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to make a case for the church right now. You go out into the world won't encourage you, pray for you, love you, like God loves you, like the church loves you, like the church wants to help you. And I've seen people that would act like a total fool outside the church, but inside the church, they're a pretty good person. How about that? I mean, I kind of, don't argue peer pressure with me because I've been there. I know how it works, right? We've all been through that. You see, that's the importance of being close to God, close to fellowship with other Christians. I remember in high school one time, they always said, well, you won't do it. I don't believe you'll do it. You're what? You're a... Y'all know what I'm talking about? We all on the same page now? I don't think you'll do it. You're a chicken. I want a preacher back then. I pull out of the school parking lot. Cars all around in the road, and you hanging out doing... Woo! You all excited and everybody's cheering your name. And then when you're in trouble, what do they all do? They laugh at you and you turn around, nobody's there. Don't tell me about peer pressure. Don't tell me about what the world is. Don't tell me about how it is on the outside of the church. I need all of God and all the church and all of the Bible and all the praying. I need all of it I can get. Lord, lay it on me. Folks want to argue that stupid point, and I call it stupid, it's exactly what it is. Don't argue with me that junk. Not only have I lived through it for 43 years, Peter was going through it thousands of years ago, right there when Jesus was on trial. Peter was afraid and scared, but his focus, he was getting away from God. He was getting further from God. Now the Bible says he followed him afar off. In three of the four Gospels, it says that he from afar off he followed him. And in one Gospel account, it says that he stood at the door at the palace there while Jesus was on trial. And that's in John 18, verse 16. But the thing I want you to see, Peter began to put distance between him and the Lord. And get this. The Bible also gives you the account that he sat with the servants of the high priest and warmed himself by the fire. Now I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of things in this world that's appealing to you. We were making apple butter yesterday, and it come time we're going to pull the fire out from under the pot. And we said, okay, we're about done. And one lady said, oh, no, don't turn that fire off. That fire feels good. She was, because it was cold, you know, and you get close to the fire, and it warms you up. Here's the biblical principle in that. When you start associating yourself with the things of the world, and it gets good to you, and you enjoy it like, oh, this is nice, and maybe you go to the beach, and maybe you go to Pigeon Forge, or wherever you go, and you find out you're going a whole lot, and then you're involved in this and that, and you miss church, and you're getting in. Let me tell you what's happening. It's a biblical principle. God says it in His Word. I didn't make it up. It's right there if you just read it. Peter warmed himself by the fire with the servants who were not followers of Jesus and disciples. They were opposed to him, and he was getting some comfort from that. When you let the world comfort you and you enjoy it, danger in the distance. Are y'all all with me? It happens every day, all the time. I've been there. I've been through it. It's a great danger in that. And so we see as Peter denies, one maiden comes up and she says, oh, she said, you're one of his followers. And he said, nope, that's not me. And he moved from there, from the courtyard, the Bible says, to the gate. And somebody said, yeah, you were with Jesus of Nazareth. He said, nope, that wasn't me. And then he moved even further from the Lord, because the next time when they said, yeah, you're talking just like him, you're one of his followers. And what the Bible says, he began to swear, to curse, as he denied the lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't know what cuss word he said. That's not the point. It doesn't matter. But the Bible says that he cursed against the Lord. In other words, he moved from the doorway to the courtyard by the fire, from the courtyard to the gateway, and then from there he started cussing against God. And I want to tell you how it all happened. He got away from Jesus, he got with the world, and then he went farther hanging out with the world, and then when the world was saying, oh yeah, you talk just like him too, he said, No, I didn't, blah, 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 blah. And he just started letting it fly. Now tell me what's the difference between that and the world today. I see people do it all the time. It's dangerous for you to go away from the Lord. Notice this. The distance, the danger in that. Oh, and here's what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. First of all, the dangers that lay in that distance is denial. You're denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the very actions in your life. If you're not living that like the Lord Jesus is going to come back right now today, if he's not Lord over your Sunday, is he Lord over your Monday? And if I would ask you today and you say, yeah, he's Lord over my Sunday, and in the morning he's Lord over your Monday, and after your boss and your buddies has done got a hold of you by Tuesday, is he still the Lord of your life? Or maybe he's not the Lord over Tuesday, but I'll pick him back up on Friday and maybe Saturday. And how do people live today? How do people live today? And I'm not talking about the lost folks. I'm talking about church folk. I'm talking about people that profess to be Christians. If he's not Lord over every day, is he Lord over all? Supposing he comes back on a day that he's not. If you got him penciled in for Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and you leave him out on Thursday, well, if Jesus come back on Thursday, is he going to take you with him then? He needs to be Lord over every day, every area of your life. He's got to be Lord over it all. And then there's dependence. You depend on things of the world more than you depend on God. It can happen. Peter did it. He warmed himself by the fires of the world, and he began to curse and blaspheme and denied God. Here's what we need, church. Discipline. We need discipline. We need to be disciplined that we'll follow God through it all, no matter what it takes. Later on in Peter's life, after Jesus arose from the grave at the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus called to Peter and others, and Peter was so excited and so thankful that he jumped out of the boat, he swam to the shore, and he ran to Jesus. He was so excited just to be once again close to his Lord and Savior. I want to tell you this. It's a biblical truth. You're better, stronger, and safer close to the Lord Jesus. Amen, church? You're better, stronger, and safer close to the Lord Jesus Christ. To quote Troy Warner, who's a pastor in Lynchburg, he said, an unguarded strength can be a double weakness. Your greatest strength, if you don't guard it, becomes your greatest weakness. So how about you today? As Janet plays today, I want to ask you this, right there where you are. How close are you? How close do you want to be? Because I'm going to tell you this, God's standing there with open arms. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and your life today. All you got to do is open up and invite him in. Think about this, mom and daddy and grandma and grandpa, when you had a little baby and they were trying to walk and you'd say, come on, walk, and they would fall. What would you do? You take them by the hand and you put their right foot on top of your right foot and their left foot on top of your left foot, and then you would do this. You would begin to walk real slow. Anybody do that? And then every time you picked up your right foot, they would pick up their right foot. And every time you picked up your left foot, they'd pick up their left foot. I'm going to tell you today, church, I need God to help me walk every day. I need God to help me get up every day. I need God to help me make decisions every day, every moment, wherever I go. Lord, help me to ask other people, do you know my friend, my Savior, Jesus? Can I introduce him to you? I don't know about you, but I need God's help today. I need to be closer to him and farther away from the things of this world. The truth is, if you'd rather fish, hunt, watch TV, race a car, whatever it might be, I don't care what it is. If you'd rather do that than get close to the Lord, I pray that God would convict your heart today. That's exactly why God put this on my heart. Because I know I need it. Help me, Lord. Help me walk. Help me stand. Would you bow your head this morning? In these last few moments,